This morning reading is from 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, the resurrection of Christ. Now I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved. If you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain, for I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Though I was not, I but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, we bow before you and we're grateful for your Son Jesus and we're also grateful for your word. And this morning again, we heard the scripture and you want to share the news with us. And so I pray that your spirit will open our hearts and our minds so we can receive the good news. Will you speak to us now? And will you, Holy Spirit, remove any obstacle that might hinder us from hearing your word? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Someone just close that door for us. Thank you. So, a Duke University professor was hospitalized with an injury. And then someone made a video of him in his hospital bed and posted it on the internet. I mean, it's a little odd, right? A little weird. But in any case, it's not what usually happens in the hospital. But things got even weirder over time. According to the professor, the video described how my injury got me to hate healthy people and how that got me to join Bill Gates and the Illuminati in creating the coronavirus. And it also caused me to attempt to try and kill as many healthy people as possible using the virus and the vaccines to control people. And of course, the problem was that every bit of that was false. But some people believed it. An acquaintance even emailed him and asked, "What happened to you?" So the experience led Professor Dan Ariely to write a book called Misbelief: What Makes Rational People Believe Irrational Things. And the book is a very personal exploration of misinformation and conspiracy theories and what causes people to fall into distrust. And so he talks about the funnel of misbelief, which explains our society's loss of trust. People fall into the funnel of misbelief when they are stressed, when they have a deep need for understanding. They go deeper when they lose their social acquaintances and attachments and begin to feel ostracized. And the result is a group of rational people believing irrational things, such as the story of a professor creating the COVID pandemic to kill as many healthy people as possible. So So when the Apostle Paul wrote his first letter to the Corinthians, he was addressing the citizens of a powerful city in the Roman Empire. And Corinth was a wealthy center of commerce. It was in Greece, and it was full of cultured and educated people who were stressed by politics and economic challenges. I mean, a lot like us these days. And on top of this, many of these men and women were feeling spiritual emptiness. Some were joining groups called mystery religions that included secret ceremonies in which a person would be joined to a pagan god or goddess. And very popular in Corinth was a drama about the death of Adonis and a celebration of his resurrection and an invitation to share his triumph. And Paul knew that these secret ceremonies were irrational. And he worried that the Corinthians would fall into the funnel of misbelief. They were vulnerable to the mystery religions because they were stressed. They had a deep need for understanding. And Paul wrote his letter to remind them of the power of Jesus to fill the empty places in their lives with new and unexpected life. And so he was offering them the truth and not a myth. And he says in verse 1, "My friends, I want you to remember the message I preached and that you believed and trusted. You will be saved by this message if you hold firmly to it. But if you don't, your faith was all for nothing." He reminds them of something he had previously shared with them, the good news of the resurrection of Jesus. And he wants them to hold firmly to this message and not to be distracted by theories about the resurrection of Adonis. And Paul says, "I told you the most important part of the message exactly as it was told to me. This part is Christ died for our sins, as the scriptures say. He was buried, and 3 days later he was raised to life, as the scriptures say." She says, "Listen, I want you to know that the story of Jesus is not a myth. It is connected to something bigger than ourselves. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. And he was raised from the dead in accordance with the scriptures." And Paul says, none of this is irrational. It's not out of left field, like the accusation that, you know, that Bill Gates and the Illuminati were involved in the creation of COVID. No, this promise, he says, of forgiveness and new life fits what God has been doing all throughout history, as reported in the scriptures. He says, this is good information. This is not misinformation. And so Paul seems to be aware, you know, that people fall for conspiracy theories when they feel unattached and when they feel ostracized. And so he tries to strengthen their social cohesion. And he writes that Jesus Christ appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After this, he appeared to more than 500 other followers. He says the resurrection of Jesus is not some made-up internet meme or YouTube video. It is a real historical event. A long list of men and women witnessed it. And you can check it out. He says most of them are still alive, but some have died. So in his book, Professor Dan says, our society relies a lot on trust. It's like fish in water. Fish don't notice the water because it's all around them. Trust is the same. Trust is all around us. And because of that, we don't often notice how big and important its effect is on our behavior. But the reality is that people who go down the funnel of misbelief lose trust, and they pay a price. And we as a society pay a price. And somehow Paul knows how much the Christian community relies on trust. And that is why he reminds the Corinthians that Jesus appeared to people that they know about, people that they actually trust. From Cephas to 500 brothers and sisters. And he goes on to say, he also appeared to James and then to all of the apostles and finally appeared to me, even though I'm like someone was born at the wrong time. He says, remember the deep connections you have with other followers of Christ. Many of these people were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. They saw him after he was raised to life. They interacted with him. And he says, he appeared also to me. Paul reminds them of the time that the resurrected Jesus spoke to him on the road to Damascus. And how Jesus completely turned his life around. It's not like Paul is exaggerating or bragging. He says to them, I'm the least important of all the apostles. In fact, I caused so much trouble for God's church that I don't even deserve to be called an apostle. He says, don't trust me because I'm a religious expert. Don't trust me because I'm a sinless saint. Don't trust me because I'm a super apostle. Trust me because the Lord has changed my life. And because he has worked through me in a very, very powerful way. He says, remember, I used to persecute the Christian church. I used to put Christians in jail and order their executions. And then Jesus changed my life. And now I'm spreading the news of the resurrection of the same Jesus I persecuted throughout the Roman Empire. And it's all because of God's grace. He says, but God treated me with undeserved grace. He made me what I am. And his grace wasn't wasted. I worked much harder than any of the other apostles, although it was really God's grace at work and not me. He says, look at me. I give all the credit to God. I'm not fit to be called an apostle, but my message is true because God is graceful to me, and I don't deserve his grace, but I am what I am because of his grace. And because of this, you can trust my message. Everything good and trustworthy comes from the grace of God. And at the end of the day, all Paul cares about is that the Corinthians accept the forgiveness and new life that Jesus offers. And he knows there's nothing irrational about the resurrection. It's God's grace-filled plan to relieve the stress of sin and death. And he reminds the Corinthians that the resurrection was witnessed by a wide community and proclaimed by a number of apostles. And finally, he says to them, so if I preach to you or the other apostles preach to you, we all preach the same thing. And this is what you believe. The bottom line is, he says, I don't want you to fall into the funnel of misbelief. And that's the message for us today. Like I said, in many ways, we are very much like the people of Corinth. Many of us are feeling stressed. Many of us are feeling spiritually empty. Many are losing their social attachments. Today, according to a recent study, more than one-third of adults 45 and older feel lonely. Nearly one-fourth of adults 65 and older are considered to be socially isolated. And when you lose your social attachments, it can cause you to tumble into the funnel of misbelief. So we all need a message we can trust. We have a deep need for understanding, and we want to find the truth. Unfortunately, Paul is also speaking to us today. And he's telling us a story we can't believe. A story that promises that all who believe in Jesus will be made alive in Christ. In Adam, all of us die. In the same way in Christ, all of us will be made alive. And Paul's story predicts that in the end, Christ will destroy every ruler and authority and power. And the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. And eventually, we will be able to celebrate with the words, "Death is destroyed forever and victory." Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your pain? So in a world of misinformation, in a world of conspiracy theories, this is a trustworthy story because it leads us to life and not death. It's based on scripture, not the internet speculation. It's grounded in the eyewitness accounts of a reliable community of Christians who are willing to die for this message. And it comes from the grace of God. It comes from the one who loves us and wants us all to experience forgiveness and new life. So put your trust in Jesus, the one who died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day, who said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And his truth comes from belief and through belief and not misbelief. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, we are bombarded by stories and things on the internet every single day. It's difficult for us these days to have the right compass, to know what is truth from fiction. And unfortunately, there are so many, because of whatever reason, they fall into this funnel of misbelief. I pray that you will surround us by people of character, by people of integrity, by people with whom we are socially connected, people that can help us break the isolation we often feel. People that are trustworthy, a community of faith, so that we can discover and follow the truth, your Son Jesus. I pray for his protection and for your Spirit to guide us and keep us safe from misinformation that might cause us to doubt. May we continue to trust you and your Son Jesus. May that trust grow in us all the time. We pray this in the name of the truth and the life and the way. In the name of Jesus. Amen.